Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Okay, welcome, welcome, welcome to yet another Pop-Up Poetry Day. Pop-Up Poetry has poets that drop in by Zoom, poets that pop in across Vancouver, pop in, we even have someone that's going to pop in from U.S. and another country. Today is the second week of International Poetry Day, and we had an interesting prompt. The prompt was, what? And the other is a poem and me. And then beyond that, it was whatever you might like to share. Pop-up poetry is a little bit different from stand-up or from some of the one type or word I don't like. I don't like slams because it feels like, and I've been at some poetry slams where sometimes people's feelings get hurt or people feel like they never got to share. So we don't do that here. We go around and round robin. So each person gets to at least present one. If there are fewer people, people can present another. Sometimes we have commentary, and I ask each person to briefly just give us a little bit of who you are, where you are, what type of writing you like to do, and why a poem, and then share your poem. What do you, you know, how are you involved with poetry? And starting with the first person to arrive, we have Leslie Hubert.
Oh, yeah. So I am Leslie Hubert. I live in New Westminster, and I write poems, short stories. I'm working on a memoir of a trip to Japan, which I took a few years ago. I also lawn bowl, and I belong to a writing circle, which has been extremely helpful with my writing. Member of Century House, which is a senior center here in New Westminster. I belong to a singing group. So that's what I do. And why a poem today? I believe the prompt was tree, was it, Charlotte?
Yes, it was what? A tree and me.
Two separate things. Yeah, so I have two short poems with the theme of trees, which I wrote a while back, actually.
Okay, well, that's going to do them one at a time because we'll get the feedback and we'll come back to you to do the second one.
Okay. So do you want one now?
Yes.
Okay. This is called Tree of Life. I lean against the strength of a tall and ancient tree, palpating trunk with fingertips, sensing the roughness of her skin. Between the deep ridges of black bark, beads of sap form drops of silver, drops of amber gold. The tree is weeping.
All right. Karen or Neil, would either of you like to give some riff? Respectful, interesting, inspiring, friendly feedback.
What can you say that you don't say anything? I like the fact that it was very blunt ending. That really capped an interesting poem. It just sort of went da-da-da-da-da-da, stop. Thank you for that.
Okay, it's actually a piece from a larger poem, but I didn't like the first part of the poem, so I just read the last part.
Yeah. I just liked it. It was nice and simple.
Yeah. I like the rhythm. It was inspiring. Gave me just a vision of a happy, sunny day. Okay. Neil?
Karen, I invite you to go first.
I do not have a poem today. My name's Karen, and I do fourth base.
Where do you live?
Fourth base.
Oh.
And I live in Vancouver and Kitsilano.
And Karen is part of Eco Wisdom, the nature guide, and poetry within that is part of contemplative communications.
Yes, contemplative thinking. And I thought I was going to have a poem, but when I have one ready, I'll hopefully do it next time.
Well, we enjoy your presence.
And
Thank
besides
you.
that, I want to read you my poem, Karen.
Okay.
My name is Neil Ryan, Rion, and I live in Nanaimo, British Columbia. And I live two blocks from a park. And there's two lakes in that park. It used to be the water supply for the mine, the coal mine that was here 100 years ago. And so, seeing as how the invitation, I read it as I am a tree. And so I went and sat in my park. And it really is not quite two blocks away. And I went, walked by the lake, and it's beautiful. And but I sat on a log that had, they call them nursing logs because they nursed the growth of the forest. And I sat on a log and I looked at the trees and I took a couple pictures, but I'm not able to transfer them to the anyway. And I came back home and I sat down and I wrote a poem called I Am a Tree. I am a tree. I am a living conscious being. I live the same adventure of being alive as you do. I am made of carbon atoms, the same as you. I learn my lessons the same as you. I am born and I will die, same as you. I am a tree. Only the form we take is different. I, like you, read the energy of the moment and understand. I feel my version of it, of the same four emotions as you do. I experience the vibration of love and of hate, the sensations of desire and fear. I am a tree, like all existence. I seek out the positive vibrations that nurture my existence. All that exists are drawn to the positive and shun the dark energies of non-existence. And all that exists intend for the positive experience of light. I am a tree. Each and every particle of me is dancing to the music of the universe. The star called our sun cast a spell that sings a vibration to all that can hear it, and bang, a living, sparkling universe is born. I am a tree. I am a living, conscious being, aware of the energies of the black in the yin yang and the white in yang, aware of the energy of plus and minus, of good and evil, implicit in the existence of one is the other, which completes the duality of dark and bright that we call life. I am a tree.
All right, this is the Suluau Show. You are hearing poetry on the pop-up. Periodically, we have pop-up poetry on CJSF in the Suluau Show. It's Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, where people give us feedback. People come and they join as they would like. one of the things that's the purpose of the pop-up poetry is to let people overcome any fear they might have of sharing their work, to know that there is a way that we present where people that are in the audience, other poets, give what's called RIFT, respectful, interesting, inspiring, friendly feedback. So welcome, Mary Nance. We go in order of who signed in. And so you'll be after Neil, but just now we're going to have see whether Leslie or Karen would like to provide some feedback.
Yeah, I like the rhythm of it, Neil. And I also like the message, you know, this sense of universal energy that flows through all things, the fact that we're all connected. So, yeah, so I thought it was a wonderful message in the poem, too.
Okay.
Thank you, Lisa.
My feedback is the same as Leslie's.
Okay, Mary Nance, would you like to introduce yourself? You're welcome to join us and tell us what kind of writing you do and what you like, what your experience with poetry, whether you like writing poems, and if you have a poem to share today.
Okay. It says, I have spent most of my life loudly proclaiming I'm not a poet, as I write volumes of poetry. So I got a negative impression of poetry when I was a kid, I guess. I finally, since I have been in a retirement community where I don't really have the same tugs at my time and attention as I did at home, I've come to the conclusion I'm probably a poet.
Mm-hmm.
And Wilden kind of collected me along the way and is putting me to work. I have published one book of poetry. So I've written volumes and volumes. So you can, there, called Lightly Stirs the Moon Wind. And that was based on one of the early poems that I wrote. And I painted the cover.
It's beautiful.
So I have decided, since I turned 90, I'd better get busy with the rest of the poetry I have if I think I want to put it in any kind of publishable order and or publish it. So I am thinking about working on that. I haven't quite gotten into it seriously. And as I mentioned, I live in a retirement community and have for nearly 6 years. My husband died 13 years ago, so I have been a widow for a while. We raised 4 children who gave us 8 grandchildren who have given me 10 great-grandchildren.
Wow.
So.
Rich.
Very rich. I really like that part of life. That was wonderful. So, and I wrote a poem the other day with the idea maybe of it going in the our community newsletter, but it was a little bit long. But I will read it to all of you if you'd like, and it's really interesting because it's about a tree. We have... So one of the things is my community is spread out on about 32 acres in one of the northeastern suburbs of Los Angeles. We're all one story, and it's called Westminster Gardens, and we live in gardens. I mean, there, and it began with missionaries and ministers needing a place to live. At the end of World War II, they'd been perhaps in concentration camps, or they'd been in ministry in the Pacific. And so a very holy, I guess, Presbyterian gentleman said, I've got all this land, I'll just build you a few houses. And it's grown like Topsy since then. but we're all on one level. And a lot of the missionaries had brought tree seeds from where they had served in the mission field. So we have all sorts of weird trees on campus. And we have one called a kapok tree. Does anybody know what kapok even is?
Yes.
Gee.
Yes, we're old. We know what it is, don't we, Neil?
you got to be old. And actually, they still use it in life preservers and things that they need to have float.
I need to be reminded, but I remember hearing
the name. They used to stuff everything with before we had polyester.
Yeah, they used to put it in mattresses, right?
Mattresses, pillows, kids' toys, anything that needed stuffing.
Yeah, and I remember we were in Indonesia. I actually saw a kapok tree. I didn't even realize, I didn't put two and two together that it actually came from a tree. So, yeah.
All right. Well, now I know all that. I moved in here, and one day we were driving out, and I looked up, and I said, oh, my God, what is that on that tree? And they were cotton balls about this big around. And someone said, oh, well, that's a kapok tree. That's a kapok tree? That's what my mother hated so much? Because she didn't like the way it got lumpy. And so... And they're very interesting trees. They're very, very large. And I'm fascinated by them. And so I wrote this little poem called Kapox, the Giants of the Jungle. And I use OMG with an exclamation point all the way through here. Oh, my God. Did you see those great, large, oval seed pods hanging in that gray trunk tree? The tree that was covered in pink and rose blossoms not so long ago. The trees in front of Packard Hall and near the bridge on Amber Avenue. Oh, my God. Look at what is bursting out of those odd pods. It's soft and white and fluffy. Those pods are turning into big white cotton balls. Just hanging in the tree. Oh, my God. You say it's called a kapok or a ceiba tree. Those are kapok trees? Kapok? I remember that. My mother hated it because it lumped all up. Before the days of polyester, kapok was the fiber used to stuff our pillows and our toys and comforters and life vests too. So that's where kapok comes from. Oh, my God. Imprinted. Just you Google it for fun. So that's, we have a lot of new residents that don't know what all the trees and stuff are. So I thought, oh, that would be a good thing that they could look at. And it's got something going all year round. The seed pods are about this big. And they're old, kind of pointed ovals. And I'm sure that there is a proper terminology for that, but I don't know what it is.
What I thought when I saw those was it was diseased trees.
They were what?
Diseased trees.
Oh! No, actually, and I said the king of the forest, they're the tallest trees in the forest, so that all that beautiful cotton can go floating around and reseed the parent tree all over, so... And they have a very thick canopy.
So I'm kind of curious when the kapok produces the fluff is its seeds, right? So when the seeds spread, is it kind of like cottonwood? You know how you walk through the forest in North America if there's a cottonwood tree and it just like floats everywhere?
We hardly have any cottonwoods in Southern California.
Oh.
It's not something I know I've seen them, but I haven't lived with them.
Mm. So I think my question is, when the seeds fall, do they float around in the air?
They float.
Yeah.
They float. That's what those white, it's called a silk tree. There's, you know, two or three other names for it. Mm. But I grew up with kapok trees in the neighborhood, and my mother, or not real close, my mother pointing it out to me once, but just really being unhappy APOC. Every time she'd run into a lump, and we couldn't afford down pillows and all that, so.
Well, thank you for sharing that background along with the beautiful poem.
Yeah, that was a really fun poem, Marinette. I like
Yeah,
that.
I wanted to make it fun. I'm going to put something in the newsletter. Hey, give the people something to laugh about or admire. So anyhow, that's the one I wrote for.
Neil, did you have a comment you wanted to make?
No, I just enjoyed the brightness of it, so.
Thank you.
Okay, and we're going to continue around the circle. I'm going to share a poem with you. I'm going to write a poem down today. Well, first, I should say I'm Charlotte Farrell. I am Sister C.
Okay.
I got, I like you, I like, you said I hated poetry somewhat when I was in junior high and high school because we had Beowulf, we had Chaucer, we had a number of poems by Europeans, but they never had any poems by Black poets. And as well, we had to, we were never, there were so many rules, you know, and it took away from the enjoyment. But instead of thinking, I know Leslie is really good with, I forgot the type of poems, haikus. My brain could not keep still to do the haikus, but I really got into writing free verse poetry and some rhyming poetry after an accident in 1989. And I had a head injury. And the first thing I was able to write again were poems. First little really angry poems, angry. I was angry with everybody, angry with God, angry with everything.
Been there.
And then, and I would have a pad, you know, by my bed, and I would just scribble down stuff. And then it shifted to poems about grief, and then heartache, and then finally it got around to poems around love, forgiveness, and joy. So now I am like Punky in a group, a nature group, where we were given the assignment to sit out and communicate with truths. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've got some crazy people.
Is
But
there a theme here?
it was a, I found my people. But after sitting outside, as someone else mentioned, Real went, sat outside, I found that there were images and things coming to me. So I'm going to share this poem. I'm going to write a poem down today, I say. I'm going to write a poem down. Let it wind from my crown to this very gelatinous ground. Standing with its oval crest of brown, gray, and black bark, this tree swirls swifts of earthly essence connecting sea and sky. Beneath a branch covering my second floor balconette, I'm soaring past Ghana, Ghana to going. Going to let words fly, going to let words gel as they foretell and reveal, as they foretell and reveal and reveal and foretell the secret healing of releasing words, opening trap doors and prison bars that have been pointlessly blocking pathways to the stars. I'm going to celebrate sharing a poem today. I'm going to celebrate releasing a bouquet of poems today. What? I'm going to hug this tree for a poetic journey. I'm going to hug this tree as I dot my I's and cross my T's. I'm going to write a poem today.
Like that.
I was always into poetry as a young child. Got out of it as a teenager. Like you, no poetry related to who I was as a disabled person, let alone other people. But I was lucky to actually. If I still have some of the books on Black disabled poets, I'll lend you a few.
Okay, thank you.
Because I had an opportunity one time to actually meet one person, Maxine Tyne, and she was quite amazed when I told her about the disabled course I took in the 1990s. So that's how far back I met Maxine Tyne. So if I still have the books, I'll lend you one or two.
Oh, thank you. I'd be happy to read them. Any comment, Leslie or Neil?
Yeah, so thank you, Charlotte. That was it was fun, and it also spoke about human connection as well. And the sentiment about hugging a tree. I haven't heard that one for a while, so thank you for reminding us of that too. I
You
loved it. Thank you.
have the black spirit in you, and it comes out in your writing, and the preacher. The preacher. I hear the preacher in that poem. I thought it was very, very, I liked it very much. And I like to be preached in that manner.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so now continuing in our round robin, there's some other people that are maybe coming in this building. CJSF is located on Burnaby Mountain on the college campus, but we also have a downtown office at 312 Main Street. And within this building, there are a number of programs that work with people. Megaphone uses a form of conscious communications, conscious, socially conscious business. And people who write stories, write poems, or take pictures are able to put them in a magazine, and they're able to earn money because a phenomenal printing company prints them beautifully, monthly magazines, and then a big annual book that's going to be coming out next month. So sometimes you've heard poets from Megaphone come and speak, and today some might drop by. But we're going to go on to the second poem by Leslie and then Neil.
Okay, thank you, Charlotte. Okay, so this one was based on a sensation I got when I went for a walk one day. I get lots of my poems from going on walks, so lots of nature poems, right? This one is called Still Life with Tree. I reach up, touch your branch, feel the energy at the point of connection from your twigs to my capillaries. Your branches to my arteries, your trunk to mine, your roots branch thick to fine, to rootlets, root hairs, down to bedrock. You bind me to the loamy earth. This timeless juncture, this connection, now and forever, just is.
Mary Nance, would you like to give any feedback?
It was very meditative. It was very easy to slip into the flow of the meditation and just let it sort of run through me.
Yeah, I felt like I was on a journey, feeling the ground beneath my feet, smelling the city, just feeling that, I mean, hearing that kind of soft sound that leaves make when they're at peace.
Leslie, you never fail to surprise. I love the ode, the idea of ode to a tree, because that's the honor and love that you emit in your poetry. So thank you.
Hey, Punky, did you have a comment? You're not required to give a comment. I'm just okay. Neil, we'll hear your second poem.
Well, I tell you, I at the when I delivered my poem before, I said I want to do it Japanese style, which is to repeat. And you didn't connect, and that's okay. I'm going to repeat it now because I think it's worth repeating. And besides, Mary Nance has not heard my poem, and I would like to share it with her. Mary Nance, I live on Vancouver Island, and I live near a park. It's a very large park, and it has two lakes in it. And when I got Charlotte's invitation, I went to the park and sat and said, "There's an invitation to deliver a poem called I Am a Tree. Tell me the poem." And then I came home after being there for quite a while, sitting on a log in the rain. And I came home, and we live in a rainforest. So, and I came home and I wrote a poem called I Am a Tree, and I would like to share it with you now. I am a tree. I am a living, conscious being. I live the same adventure of being alive as you do. I am made of the same carbon atoms, same as you. I learn my lessons, same as you. I am born and I will die, same as you. I am a tree. Only the form we take is different. I, like you, read the energy of the moment and understand. I feel my version of the same four emotions as you do. I experience the vibration of love and hate, the sensations of desire and fear. I am a tree. Like all of existence, I seek out the positive vibration that nurture my existence. All that exists are drawn to the positive and shun the dark energies of non-existence. All that exists intend for the positive experience of light. I am a tree. Each and every particle of me is dancing to the music of the universe. The star called our sun casts a spell that sings a vibration to all that can hear it, and bang, a living, sparkling universe is born. I am a tree. I am a living, conscious being, aware of the energies of the black of yin and the white of yang, aware of the energy of plus and minus, of good and evil, implicit in the existence of one is the other, which completes the duality of dark and bright. We both called life. I am a tree. Thank you.
Even richer with the second reading.
That's why I
Yes.
wanted to do the second reading.
Yes.
It gave me shivers. It's good.
Say again.
It gave me shivers.
Again, very meditative.
Is there any way I can get a copy of that poem? That is so lovely.
I would be lovely. I would be the happiest to send that to you. I just need an address. So if you want to stick an address in the chat, I'll email it to you.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you very much, Neil.
And since you just wrote it, it won't be in your book. But could you take a minute to describe your book? Neil is an adventurer, let me tell you. Neil was so committed to getting his book sold and hearing the trickery of sometimes publishers saying they were going to put the book in stores. He bought a motor home, drove a 20-foot vehicle on the Los Angeles from Canada through across the freeways at 65 miles an hour, and with me praying, Lord, please help Ryan out there on the road. But he believed in his work so much, he took a case of books and he went along the seawall and he sold the book to people talking. So just in thinking about process and that process that you mentioned of going down and out and sitting by the tree and hearing what it told you, maybe you, at some point you could share a little bit more of that process. But it just made me feel like I was traveling, like the tree was really taking me on an adventure through different parts of its system and feeling the, as you were talking about how the tree felt, I was imagining those feelings in my human body. So I really thank you for telling us a little bit about your process before writing the poem. And then at some point we can hear more about your adventure going across America with a case, with case. He had to order more. He sold more books being out on the road behind his work than a lot of people have sold through Amazon or some of the walking, what do they call it? Brick and mortar bookstores. He's showing from the other side. The people hearing can't see it, but he's showing us a copy of the book from the other side.
This is from the other side. That's my photograph of the sun breaking the horizon when I was 7 miles over Iceland, looking at probably Scotland or maybe Norway. And we're flying to London, England, and I took a photo. I'm standing behind the pilot, which is unavailable anymore. You cannot sit, you get into, so, but my, I was on a business trip and I managed to get in behind the co-pilot. And in fact, landed a 747 in Heathrow Airport in London, sitting behind the co-pilot.
Wow.
What an enormous, yeah, my life has been an
Ooh.
adventure. And in
Yeah.
fact, if you can see behind me, using these are my current paintings.
I thought probably they were yours.
Anyway, here's the problem with my book. The company that printed it for me is gone bankrupt. So Amazon no longer has it available because the company that I chose to republish it. So I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to cost more money than I've got available at this moment, although I could if I really, really wanted to. But anyway, that's a long story short. The fact is that there are some incredibly beautiful poems that are in this book. I will share one with you just for a minute, if it's okay. It's called In the Stillness. It's very short. In the stillness, in the darkness, in the moments before your lover's morning kiss arrives to remind you of whom they want you to be. In the stillness, in the darkness, a still, quiet voice can be heard whispering to you the truth of your being. In the stillness, in the darkness, there is a truth. Beyond the wound, beyond the tears, there is a love and a compassion seeking to tell you who you really are. In the darkness, in the stillness, you can connect to the oneness of your soul that insists you are all that is. You are the love that creates the universe.
That's beautiful. Yes.
So that's my poetry, and that's what's going on with me, is that I need a $1,500 to go and do a reprint. But you know, I saw when I did a trip in my motorhome, I went through Washington State, Oregon, California, Arizona, right to Sedona, Arizona. And at the Buddhist, I met a lady at, and I had a business card with me. And in the business card, it simply says on one side, it says, "Come and read my free poems." Come and read my free poems on this side and buy the book. It's on Amazon. And this lady said she went to my website from the other side and she read the poem called It's Only a Dollar. And it's about the gift of the beggar man, that the beggar man gives us an opportunity to feel compassion. And that's the poem. And it's about, and in fact, it's in Sixth Street in New Westminster was where I wrote that poem because it's called It's Only a Dollar. So I don't know if I'm going to reprint or if I'm going to take, I've got another book ready for publication and I've been hanging off because of money. But anyway, I'm wondering if Audible would, in fact, be the best choice for my book of poetry.
Well, Audible, we can possibly have a podcast about Audible. I'm doing an audio book and I'm going to be using Audible. We're working on an audio book for possibly some of the people that are on pop-up. So to be continued.
Yes. Okay. So, bottom line, I don't know what's happening with the book, so I didn't wasn't going to mention it, but there's so much love in that book that needs to be out in the world.
One of the things I mentioned, Megaphone. Megaphone is a street part of the worldwide street books, street publications, and it is a form of cooperative economics. So you could come down and interview, talk with them about the possibility of what it would cost to have the publisher, the person that publishes that book, publishes in full color, the vendors, there are people who are street people, transformed from living desperately to vendors who have a license to be able to sell their publications on the street. But it would be one place to just talk, exchange ideas with some of the people that are in this 312 Main Street building. There are a lot of social consciousness groups working here, but Megaphone might be one to talk with to see.
I'll get back to you on
Okay. Mary Nance, do you have a second poem you want to share?
I do. It was the first one that I wrote after I had moved out here about the community. We had a flock, or whatever they call them, of vultures that were roosting in the liquid amber trees that were on the edge of. I live on Amber Avenue. Can you imagine why? Anyhow, there's a lot of liquid amber trees. And so there was kind of interesting to watch them come in at night and decide where they're going to roost. And then in the morning, they take off and do whatever vultures do all day. And then they'd come back again in the evening. And they did that for about a year. And so I wrote about these. It's called At Dusk on Amber Avenue. Tall grow the trees on my short block. Palms and pines are intermixed with cypress spires and rows of liquid amber torches. The slender eucalyptus leaves chase fluffy kapok tufts across the lawns with every sigh of wind. The giant leaves of sycamores add crunch beneath the feet. At 4 or 5 each afternoon, the turkey vultures start to come, both singly and in groups, gliding on the unseen winds to find their treetop roosting spots, where they can see for blocks around, yet stay hidden from below. We've counted almost 40. Long and strong, black and gray pinions from their wings are scattered here and there, and from their breasts, caught in plants and shrubs, softly curled and shiny black, small feathers wear a ruff of soft white down. Those who walk in twilight time beneath the trees on Amber Avenue are well advised to choose a path not marked by splats of white. That's it.
Well, I was thinking your poetry would be a good introduction to a biology book.
I observe a great deal. I definitely observed those flats of white. You definitely did not want to walk where they were. So,
yes, I grew up in part of my life in Kansas, and there were a lot of birds. And my grandparents used to sit out on the porch and walk, you know, talk about birds. But I haven't, until you talked about that, I was just thinking how many hours and how many times you would have been observing these vultures, and to even know that there's something called a turkey vulture, that might be meat for someone who's writing a science fiction story.
Well, one of our retired ministers who served in Bangladesh was totally fascinated by them, and every evening he'd come out with his binoculars, and he and his wife would sit on one of the benches and watch the turkey vultures come in, and then they didn't come back the next season. He was very upset that they didn't do that.
Did turkey vultures eat turkeys by any chance?
I have no idea. I think it has to do with the markings on their, the colors on their feathers.
Yeah. They display like turkeys.
Like a turkey? Okay. So, but I used to pick up feathers when I'd go for a walk. But now there aren't very many feathers to be picked up.
I was going to say, Mary Nance, is that you're quite a font of information. You should be a dictionary.
I have introductions, like I was thinking, your poems. Sometimes you get a book, and there's something unusual at the beginning. You know, some of those, that poetry might be a way to lead somebody into reading more about nature. But I just think you are definitely a fountain of information.
Thank you.
Well, I was agreeing with what Charlotte was saying. That would be great for science. I think what they have to start doing, like what they did with my parents, was try and integrate science and arts together in nature, and it would make a bit more sense, because I think that's what we've learned through eco-wisdom, haven't we, Charlotte?
Yes.
That nature and art and science are not necessarily different apart from one another.
Well, that's very true. I mean, certainly just involving yourself in any of the arts, the fine arts, the crafty arts, any kind of art, you're calling on science all the time. Oh, what a pretty kitty.
Yes, you're seeing my kitty walk in the
I'm
room.
I'm seeing your kitty, yes. I love cats.
Her name is Kinky. Because of her tail.
Oh, she's got a kink in her tail?
Yeah.
Then she must have a little Siamese in her.
No, she's a calico tabby.
And she could still have a little Siamese in her.
Well, if she had Siamese in her, I would know. She doesn't have the screech.
Well, we used to have Siamese. We had several Siamese pairs, and we raised Siamese kittens. And if somehow or another Mama decided she wanted to have a different boyfriend this time around, none of the half Siamese look Siamese.
No, but they sure sound like it.
Well,
How?
yeah,
Yeah, well,
they can.
I know because I grew up with a screech. That was a black screech, but the reason why I use the word screech, that is what my father termed the meow. It was a quite meh, 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 meh. That's how come I know the sound very well of a Siamese.
But I've had several other cats through the years that definitely were part Siamese, but without the markings.
Yes, but the way I tended to know, at least the first generation part Siamese definitely had the distinct sound of the
Yeah, oh, they
Siamese.
certainly do, Karen. They certainly do.
Well, I certainly have enjoyed our discussion. I see we can just envision poems don't have to be just in books. Poems can be in shirts. Poems can be themes for movies. Poems can be a way of letting us know more about geography or just the things you observed, because to observe the things that you talked about with vultures, or to observe the smell and scent of the trees, to observe what the water, to sometimes ask a thing, what do you want to be in me? These are some things that those of you who might say, oh, I can't write a poem, or who might have been shy about sharing a poem, I hope that you will think about bringing it the next time we do a pop-up. I'm going to end with one of my poems from my first experience when someone within, we had an assignment within Eco Wisdom to sit by a tree and hear what it has to say to us. So it's called Hush, Hush. Hush. Hush, stop and listen to that tree. Its leaves rustle a special message to see. See it with your ears. See it with the lobes and canals pulsing from your heart. Hush, hush, slow the pace of your walking in a rush. The 10-minute path around your sit spot expands new melodies and bass lines. Slow, stop, and listen. Dew falling on a leaf does more than glisten. Listen intently. Follow the trails. Hear the caterpillars faintly pick at the bark. Hear the bird warning to others to back off. From deep within, a lamentation song honors past neighbors. Neighboring trees sawn or burned down, removed from their sacred, now hallowed ground. Hush. Hush, the trees are speaking to us.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Yes.
Well, thank you all for popping by. Pop-up poetry is intended to be friendly. It's intended to let people share what's on their heart, share things that may be in a prompt, or just the very thought of coming to talk and share something has inspired someone to write something. So you will be hearing, when you hear these poems, you will be hearing them on my Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon show, Suluau, where my guest and I speak up so listeners can listen up and act upon what you've heard. So act upon being out in nature, act upon seeing the trees around you and hearing things that were always there but you might have missed. I am Charlotte Farrell, and while I said you'll see me next week at 10, when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love. Poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time. time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time.